to the skies very high.
Hello and welcome to Talking PPG Radio. My name is Will Jones. The following information is not for training, but personal experiences and reflections on the world of power paragliding as I know. All guests of Talking PPG Radio have formed their own ideas, thoughts, and opinions on the world of power paragliding. They are not necessarily the thoughts or opinions of Talking PPG Radio. You may agree or disagree to what you hear. Talking PPG Radio is here to get conversations, thoughts, ideas about the world of power paragliding. Safety first. I highly recommend a qualified instructor. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy.
Go and see the stars, Milky Way. Hey guys, welcome back. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Well, we're coming to the end of the year as far as fly-ins here. Just got back here recently from the Holland, Michigan fly-in, which was really good. So, but what I have for you today, first off, I have Brandon Oberlin from the Indy Air Hogs. I gave him a call back, kind of running behind on getting in touch with him. A lot of things went on in between. He went, you know, out of town to visit his family, and so we just kind of got a chance to, we were up at Holland, Michigan last weekend, so just got a chance here right at the end of the week to give him a call so we can put this together and get it out. But I wanted to call him and just say, man, what a great fly-in. You missed a absolutely wonderful fly-in with the Indy Air Hogs, the second annual there, August 14th, 15th, and 16th, I think that's when it was. So. And so we just sat down and talked about that. You know, the cool thing, one of the coolest things about the fly-in was the kind of the classes or the 103, the repack, and also Olaf Black Devil Clinic was really good too. So, and it was really nice. It was really nice. So the weather was unbelievable. Of course, we had two incidents, actually one with injury, and then of course mine in the bean field, which I'm sure all of you have seen by now on YouTube, so we can sit and laugh about that now. And I have been laughing about that for a while now. It seems like it'll be a subject of topic when I'm around. So anyway, it's all in great fun. No injuries. It's all good. So, and the next basically segment I have for you is I actually did a conference call with Jim Newberlin and David Schultz. Jim is the pilot that actually had the accident at the Indy Air Hogs. Had a prop incident at the Indy Air Hogs, which you'll get a chance. You'll hear, I'm sure you've seen the post and have heard if you've gone into fly-ins, and some guys have been there, have talked about it and stuff like that. So I did get a chance to talk to him. I think it was a couple weeks after it happened, and he actually was on his way here in Louisville, which is where he ended up getting his surgery and stuff like that, to check it out. So he's doing really good now, and you hear where Brandon talks about where he had talked to him here recently, and he's already back to work and no loss of movement or anything like that, and he's working on his Black Devil to improve safety. So that's about all I have for you. Like I said, I thought I had maybe one or two more fly-ins that I might be going to before winter sets in. There's one coming up in Southern Illinois I thought I was going to be able to go to, but looks like I'm going to miss that one. You know, do the family thing, and since I've been away for, you know, so many weekends and stuff like that, so, which is cool. No big deal. I think we're going to go to Kings Island, so all fun, except for me, since I get motion sickness, which is really funny considering the motion that we go through. Maybe it's not quite the same. It's the round and round that gets me. And so anyway, we're going to move on and get going here. And thank you for listening. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio.
Hey guys, welcome back. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Well, went to the second annual Indy Air Hogs fly-in, which was August 14th, 15th, and 16th, and I wanted to talk to Brandon Oberlin, which was basically in charge and kind of he was the man to talk to if you had problems at the fly-in, and I had a problem. But anyway, I wanted to give him a call and just kind of say, man, what a great fly-in. Welcome back, Brandon. Nice to
Thanks for having me on the show, Will.
Oh, yeah, man. Hey, I have to say, it was wonderful. I'm glad I made it this year, where last year at the last minute I couldn't make it. It was absolutely wonderful. Nice fly-in you had there.
I'm glad you had a good time. I think most everyone did.
From what I could tell, yeah. And the cool thing is you offered several things that basically haven't been offered all the fly-ins I went to this year, like the 103, the motor, the repack. Man, that was really cool, absolutely cool. I think a lot of people really enjoyed those that little extra, you know, when we weren't flying that we could go and check those out. So,
yeah, some people had some ideas about that, and it just sort of came together, you know. Robin was saying on one of the lists that he would like to go and see a reserve repack clinic, and you know, the 103. So it just came together. Ola had a lot of experience with motors, so you know, it gave people things to do during Saturday when there was no fly in the middle of the day. I think we had good people doing it too.
Oh, actually, what was the guy's name? Did the 103?
David Graves. Did the 103.
Yeah.
Talk about airspace.
I actually taped that whole thing. Hopefully, I'm going to try to have that or post that up as far as on one of the podcasts and stuff, so those guys that out there don't quite, you know, maybe to give them a little bit of information about the 103, so I got to go over that and see if I can't pull that out and see if we can hear it real good.
Oh,
so
that's a great idea.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed that. It's funny, a lot of the stuff I knew, didn't know, but it was really good to hear that, you know. So
I learned some things, too. I found out I've been flying in some places I wasn't supposed to.
That's good to know, huh?
just once or twice. Yeah.
Wait a minute, was that a F-16 that just buzzed me?
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah. Pull over. And Olaf, and I thanked him, too, about the motor clinic. That was, even though I fly a Simonini, Fresh Breeze, but that, and most of those two-stroke motors are about the same as well. They're, you know, reed valves, you know, basically the same thing, but to actually see Black Devil, which is what he specialized in, taking it apart was really cool. Absolutely.
He did a great job, too. I mean, he really prepared for it. And he had a motor there that he had taken almost completely apart.
Yeah.
Just took it all down, put it back together, explained every step of the way. You could tell he really had practice.
Well, the slide, or was it the projector show along with it, was really cool. Did he ever post that information? He talked about posting it actually on the Indies Yahoo group. I meant to ask him about that, if he went ahead and posted, because he was going to actually post
it. Sure.
Stuff. Yeah. I'm going to have to see if I can't get in touch with him, or if you can ask him for me. I didn't know if he had gone and done it. I know he said he was going to try to gather it together where he could put it in a PDF so you can actually download the information. So,
I think Alex Varve was going to link to it or post it on his invention page. And at some point we'll have it on the AirHog site,
On AirHog site,
I'm sure.
Yeah, that was a lot of it. It was great information. And then the repack. Man, I tell you what, it amazes me to, you know, I have a reserve. I don't know how many of you guys out there actually fly with a reserve. I do. I know Brandon does. There's several people that here lately I've noticed have been flying. Actually, I'm seeing more and more people actually flying with reserves and actually knowing what's in there and how it's packed was really cool, too. So, yeah.
It was neat to see, wasn't it?
Oh, man.
Greg really did his homework.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he did.
He went around trying to find all the information he could about the different manufacturers and how they go together and, and opening speed, just all these kind of details that most people don't know.
Yeah.
And he practiced with mine in advance, and really, I mean, he knows it. He knows it inside now because he's a rigger.
Yeah.
But, he definitely did a good job. Yeah, terrific job, actually.
Well, cool, man. Yeah, like I said, it was, and the weather was good. Man, the weather was excellent. And I have to apologize. I did not see the fireworks show, but I heard enough about it.
It's too bad you didn't see it.
Yeah.
You know, Jeff Coyne was lighting the fireworks at first, had a road flare, and then Dave and I were loading the tubes, and Jeff was just walking by, lighting all the fuses, and it was crazy, man, because those things are going off right by your face.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be close to them to load them, and so we're just loading them and firing them as fast as we can.
Yeah.
I've never been involved with some fireworks like that. That was crazy.
Yeah, that was, guys, you should have seen the amount of fireworks that they were preparing for that night. Unbelievable. It's like,
Okay.
When Matt said he had some fireworks, boy, I wasn't ready for that.
Oh my God. Oh my! It just covered up the cart that you had. I was like, you've got kidding me.
Huh. I mean, no exaggeration, it was a couple hundred pounds.
I believe. Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's like I could not believe it. So, but I'm sure a lot of you've heard some good things as far as people said they enjoyed, and that's why basically I wanted to call and just say, man, it was great. It was excellent.
I'm really glad you made it, Will, and it was a lot of fun. We had a good time. We had great weather, and we just got lucky on that. You know, yeah. Smoking hot, but boy, it sure made for some smooth air in the evening.
Yes, absolutely.
And of course, we had the one incident, the injury, and that was the only real downside.
Yeah. Well, don't forget about mine.
I talked to Jim the other day. What's that?
I said we had two. I was number two. But go ahead. Yeah, you talked.
Yours wasn't really an injury. That was more entertaining.
Oh well, thanks. All right. I was going to get up and bow, but I was taking the beans out of my from all around me. But anyway.
Well, once we saw that you weren't hurt, your equipment wasn't damaged, it was just all in good fun.
It's right, and still in good fun. A month later.
Yeah. That was bow worthy, and it got recorded from what, 5 angles and posted. So it's there for everyone to see.
Yeah,
you're in fine form. Yeah. I talked to Jim the other day, and he said that he's out of the hospital. Well, of course, he's been out of the hospital for a while, but he's healed up. He's virtually 100%. He's back at work, and he was even out kiting his wing the very day I called him, so I'm really glad to hear he's doing better.
Yeah. Well, see, I had talked to him and Dave Schultz, which you guys, you'll hear after me and Brandon got off, where I think it was maybe a couple of weeks after everything happened and stuff. So I know I called him like, the day he ended up doing everything here in Louisville, and he ended up coming back, and they checked him out, and I called him the day or two after when he got back from Louisville, and he was saying it was healing good. I think they took the brace so he could move and all that, which you'll get to hear that. So I'm glad you got a chance to talk to him again. It's good to hear that he was kiting and be back in the air soon. So,
well, you know how I met Jim?
No.
He donated money to me.
Oh, really?
That's how I first knew his name. I hadn't even met him in person, and I was looking forward to meeting him there at the fly-in. I hadn't got a chance to talk to him until he was being loaded into the ambulance.
Oh, because
I'd been running around.
Okay.
My accident.
Yeah.
I said, "Oh, Jim, good to meet you. Sorry about the circumstances."
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, I've gotten to know him a little bit since then, and
excellent.
It's been really good.
Yeah.
So I sent him his money back. I said, "Well,
there you go. Yeah, there you go.
You know.
Yeah. Well, man, at least he was in good spirits when I talked to him. You know, and he seems like
he's a trooper.
Know. Oh, dude. Yeah, absolutely. So
he really is. I talked to him the next day at the hospital, and he had a great attitude about the whole thing. And you know, I think it was a good lesson for us all. You know, it made me think about starting my engine.
Yes.
And I think it did a lot of people, and it led to more work on the hoop, the safety hoop, which, a lot of units out there, frankly, aren't very safe when it comes to the netting.
Yes.
Yeah. And Baumgartner installed a bunch of them up at Holland, we're just trying to get awareness out there about, you know, there's a lot of units, especially those, you know, flimsier cages that just can't take much force to the hoop and really set people up for prop injuries.
You know, guys, we just got back last weekend from the Holland, Michigan fly-in, and which was Terry Leckie's, and Jeff was up there, and I talked to him about it, and I had told him, I said, man, I saw your, he actually had a YouTube thing out about it, where he was testing and standing out and everything. I don't know if you got, I'll try to find that, but he told me, I don't know if you know this, but you know he sold the website. He may have told you this, where he sold the website and then the plans and stuff to Jeff. He took that money and threw it right back into buying and going ahead and fabricating that bar, which you are the hoop, the extra hoop, and brought them to Holland to put them on guys, you know, put it on their motor form for free. And I was like, you're kidding me, really?
And he had a bunch of them all bent up.
Stayed
up late at night, bending those things up, and then just giving them out, just so people can make their machines safer.
Make their machine safer,
He didn't make any money out of that.
No.
He did it because he was concerned about safety.
Yes, and he turned that money around, and it's like, wow, Jeff, that's pretty cool, man. And it's like, you know, big thanks to him.
Good guy.
Oh, gosh. Quiet, but man, you just see the wheels are turning on safety and just ideas and stuff like that. And the Skyboat's an excellent setup.
I'm gonna make a video soon because I put the safety hoop on and I worked out some details to make it kind of look the way I want it to look.
Uh-huh.
The central design is exactly the same. It's 5/8, 6061 T6 bent all around, and then it's sleeved and then telescoping at the top with 1/2 inch. And after I put it all together, I can lay it down turtle style on the ground and stand on it. The ball of my foot doesn't hit the prop. About 170 pounds, which is a good deal more thrust than my motor puts out, which it puts out maybe 140. I feel confident holding it back, and I'm going to post a video demonstrating that it'll hold the motor back at full power.
Cool. Okay. Very cool.
Anywhere on the net.
Yeah. And the thing, guys, we actually just kind of retrofitted one on my fresh Breeze frame, and I mean, I got some work to do as far as getting it to, like you said, you got it actually fitted how you want it to. But all the motors out there, basically, you can do this too. So, and probably I would suggest actually. So, and
definitely.
It's just safety, and it's funny because we're talking, not funny necessarily funny, but we were talking about if Jim had that bar, would have never got him.
No,
would have never got him.
If he'd have had a safety bar like that, or a safety hoop, he could have put a shoulder into the net right there, and it wouldn't happen. He's working on his right now, so
is
I understand.
He? Okay.
He just emailed me about a little bit the other day.
Yeah, I heard he went electric start, too, so he's going all out, so
Good.
Without a doubt.
Well,
cool, But, man, that's great. You're gonna do a YouTube one, and just kind of, should we look forward, post it on Big List and the Air Hogs?
Yeah, okay. I will.
Okay, great.
Once I make the video, I'll go ahead and post a link to it.
I'll link to it too.
Kind of see what it looks like, and I'll put some builder details in there too, so that people can make their own if they want.
Yeah. Do you talk to the guys a lot about the Skybolt as far as on the forums and stuff?
Yeah,
you
yeah, I'm
okay.
actually a moderator on the Skybolt.
Are you really? Okay, I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to talk to you about that one day. Okay, all right. Well, cool. Yeah, I'm coming to the end of the year as far as the fly-ins and stuff like that. So I'm trying to line up more like content, like things like talking about the Skybolt and motors and wings and stuff like that. So we'll have to talk about that. So well, cool, man.
Oh, that'd be fun, and it's a great wintertime project.
Yeah,
it's hard to do in the summer,
right?
You know,
yeah,
because you want to go flying.
Well, you want to go flying, yeah. So that's what I'll be doing is I'll be working on my motor and doing some things that I haven't that I need to do and like decarb and stuff like that. Talk about that stuff. So, but yeah, looking for more content things. So, well, cool, man. I'm just going to keep it real short and sweet. And just wanted to say thanks for a very nice flying, guys. If you get a chance next year, I'm sure it's the third annual going to come up in August, and we'll talk to you about it then. And you got to go. It's a great flying. So,
I was glad to have you there, Will.
Thanks,
it was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Brandon.
And
greatly appreciate it.
Look forward to seeing you there next year.
Absolutely. I'll try not to make any emergency trips before then. Yeah.
Please don't.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Thanks a lot.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, guys. Going to keep the show going. Up next, Jim Newbird and David Schultz. I kind of messed his name up on the intro. Newbird, I don't know where I got that from, but it's Jim Newbird and David Schultz. So thank you for listening. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio.
All right, guys, welcome back. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. I have two guests with me, believe it or not, and it seems like this is going to work. I have Dave Schultz, and also I have Jim Newbert. Is that right, Jim? Did I say that right?
Yes, sir, that's right.
Okay, great. And you guys you're familiar with Dave. Dave's been on before. He's becoming a regular now. Daggone, Dave, you becoming a regular, man? Can I call you a regular? Sure. Okay. All right. And Jim Newbert, we all went to the Indy Air Hogs fly-in. It was, when was that? August 14th, 15th, and 16th, and had a great time. There were a couple incidents that I wanted to, and I was involved in one of them, and Jim was involved in one of them, and we just wanted to talk about them, safety, the fly-in, and I thought I'd give these guys a call and see if they'd be willing to come on and talk to me, and it seems to be working, so I guess I better hurry up and just in case something happens. So, hey guys, how y'all doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you, Will?
Yeah, I'm doing good, Jim. How about you, Dave? How
doing
you doing?
Good, Will.
Good.
Doing good, yeah. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, man. Thank you guys for coming on. This is, like I said, this is the first time I'm doing a conference call. It's funny because normally I'm talking to one person or I'm talking and hoping people are listening to me. So maybe this will give everybody a break and they won't have to listen to me all the time. So, but Jim, you're the new person on the show. Well, the first thing I always say, what made you get into this crazy sport? Tell us a little bit about your flying, how long you've been flying, things like that, man.
Well, it was several years ago. I was at the beach down in Panama City, and I actually saw a guy flying a Zodiac with a fixed wing, like a Delta wing. And I thought, man, that looked pretty cool, so I thought I'd check into that, and that was way in my price range. And so then I looked at PPCs and I found out about PPGs and found that there was an instructor here, you know, where I live in Knoxville, and Robin Rumbold's instructor here. So I contacted Robin. I got with him, watched him fly, and man, I was hooked. And that's probably, I think I've been flying about 3.5 years, something like that, when I soloed.
Okay. What did you start off with? Your first equipment you started off with, because I know you're flying actually the Skywall right now.
Was a Black Hawk with you know, for paratoids.
Oh, okay, all right.
And I, you know, with I'm kind of clumsy, as we'll find out later. But and I beat it up pretty good, so it got kind of beat out of round and stuff. And it's tough equipment, but I put it to the test with a few hard landings and different things. So anyway. Decided that my, you know, I need something a little stronger or just different, and really one of the most cost effective ways for me to go as well as toughness was with the Skybolt.
Okay.
Instructor Robin had built one, and he said he'd help me with mine. So we, you know, I got the equipment, or I bought the materials, put it together, and it really is a strong unit, and that's what I'm flying now. That I've still got my Black Hawk frame or harness,
mm-hmm.
and the 172 engine, the Black Devil engine. And I've moved up to an Eden 3 wing.
Eden 3. How long have you been flying your Skybolt?
About probably 4 months, something
about
like
four
that.
Months. Oh, okay. Oh, wow. You just got it going and everything. Okay.
Yeah, sure
wow.
did.
Okay. Well, cool. Very cool, man. What other fly-ins have you gone to? Was the Indy Air Hogs the first one you went to?
It was my second. I made the Beach Blast 2009 John Black put on. Had a great
time.
Yeah,
wasn't it wonderful?
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
That was my first, so you can imagine how starstruck I was at that. And you know, all those wings in the air at one time, it was just crazy. You know. And then Indy was real similar. There was always a lot of wings in the air when we were flying, and you know, all the names that you see on the forums were there, so it was pretty cool, too.
And Dave came along, let's see, was that Saturday you showed up at the Beach Blast there, Dave?
Yep, on Saturday at the Beach Blast, sure did.
Yeah, wow. Were you starstruck? Oh, wait a minute, you are a star, man. Hold on. That's right.
Yeah, listen to you.
You are a star.
It was a great flying, and it was good to see everybody there, and we did have a number of pilots there, including Jim and Robin and Ron Hogan from all from Tennessee. So it was good, in addition to getting to see everybody else that you have an opportunity to see at some of the other flyings as well. But yeah, had a great time at the Beach Blast for sure.
Now Jim, you said you're in Knoxville. Who else are you? Who you fly with, Robin all the time, or you got a group of guys that you fly with?
It's really me and Robin, and Chris Johnson's a flyer who come up from Florida and now lives in East Tennessee. He flies with me a lot. And we got a few others that kind of hit or miss, but that's mainly the three in this particular area. And then we hook up every once in a while with those guys from Middle and West Tennessee and try to get a central location and have a little mini fly-in.
Oh, okay. What was that, Dave? You guys had a little mini one. Did you show up with to that one?
Remember? Yeah, that was the one that Jim talking about. Robin kind of put an informal get together
Okay.
Up in East Tennessee at one of their little airports that they have there, and that was a great time. We had some good weather after the wind settled down, had a couple hours of flying in, and all got together and went out to one of the local barbecue places and had a great time.
Had a good time. Wow, man. Yeah, I'm finally got somebody up here to fly with, Jim Sting. And so it's nice to be able to get together with just like an impromptu thing, you know,
right.
Which I've tried to hit a lot of the fly-ins this year and to get that, you know, camaraderie with those crazy people that fly around on a bed sheet in the air. So, so well, cool. All right, guys. Well, we had the Indy Air Hogs event, which I thought was a great fly-in. And I'm sure a lot of people want to hear your story. I think we'll talk about my Beanfield incident last. So when you're sitting there like, and you're not sure what's going on, everybody's saying things like, I think it was this, and I was thinking it was that. And one of the reasons why I wanted to call you, Jim, I saw that you had posted on the PP Big List and kind of described everything that, you know, that happened, the process or whatever. And I wanted to give you a voice, actually, on the radio here and explain it to everybody, kind of how it came about, you know.
And I appreciate it, you know, the opportunity to kind of clarify some misconception. It wasn't a full throttle when I started the incident. You know, it wasn't because it was jammed or something like that. I always check that. I mean, it was something just as stupid, but it wasn't that particular mistake that I made.
Yeah.
What it was, I had just gone for a launch and didn't quite make it, didn't quite pull it off. Dave saw it. I lost my wind or something anyway. So I reset the wing. I took the motor off. You know, took a little break because it was pretty hot and humid that day.
Yes.
And then after I got my wing set and everything ready, you know, did another quick pre-fly, made sure, you know, the throttle was good and everything, I started pulling on it, and I could tell it was wanting to start. You know how you do that sometimes. You pull, and it almost catches, but you just can't pull it fast enough or something. And so I cracked this throttle a little bit and pulled a few times, and it started. He still didn't have a problem, but it was running, but it bogged real bad. And so I cracked it open just a little more, and that's just when all hell broke loose.
Okay.
It immediately just caught or something, and then I had my hand in the wrong position holding it, and it allowed the horizontal bar to push up against the throttle lever. And so it went full throttle and stayed.
Oh,
and
okay.
I was trying to hit the kill switch and thought I hit it, but I must have missed it on the first swipe anyway, but you know these things happen pretty quick.
Yeah.
So the machine kind of rotated a little bit toward my right side, and then my shoulder, where I was trying to hold it back, you know, down at the frame of the machine, but my shoulder was up into the netting, and,
okay,
and my netting's pretty tight, but it just wasn't enough to hold it back, and my shoulder got into the prop, and, you know, that hurt. But not like you'd think. You know, I thought, well, you know, that's going to leave a bruise. So,
I fell down, still going,
and I hit the kill switch, and, you know, I thought, okay, well, that's embarrassing. Everybody's looking, but, you know, I bet that's going to leave a mark. And then I looked over, and it was almost horrific. It looked like a war wound. And that, so I thought, well, this is more than a Band-Aid situation. Still not the pain or the panic that I would associate with that kind of injury, because it was really pretty deep and just, you know, I don't want to get real graphic, but, you know, some pretty bad stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and that's when Dave kind of come to my rescue there.
Yeah. Now, you were actually, okay, your paramotor was on the ground. You were standing in front of it, like as you were looking, like when we're all starting our motors, and the you had your hand on the horizontal bar, which is where the, what would that be, the top of the, or the back of the, your harness is going
to be
attached, okay. And you were starting with your right hand. And did
correct.
You, where was your throttle? Your throttle was actually in your left hand, which was holding the horizontal bar, right?
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. Okay. And pull, it stumbled a little bit. You cracked a little bit more, and then that's when the motor twisted. If I'm
right.
and then when I'm trying to remember looking at the netting, it was a kind of upper right hand corner. Actually, it's funny because you just missed like what one of the support bars, I guess, that holds the hoop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if I'd had one of those inner ring, you know, that, you know, there's a lot of hindsight, man.
Yeah.
I just had that, you know.
Yeah.
I'd be flying this evening or something, I guess.
Yeah. So Dave, what did you, I mean, did you actually see it, or did you, you came in after when, because, guys, I don't know, Dave, you're first responder, right? You said you were involved in that, or you did the, how long did you do that for, or who did you do it for?
I've been a first responder for years, maybe 20 years, and if you're familiar with, you know, the first responder, that's basically, you've got that level, and then you've got EMTs, and then you've got paramedics. And most of your firefighters today are, you know, first responders, and that's why when you call, you know, the fire department shows up first, because most of the firefighters are first responders. But for me, I was sitting there videoing Robin, and just like Jim had described, the wind was changing, you know, 90 to 180 degrees, but it was very light, even though it was variable. It was very light, and it was extremely humid. And Robin had made several attempts at trying to launch, and I was out there trying to help him reset his wing. And he was on his getting set up when Jim was getting ready to launch, and I heard the prop hit Jim, and that's about the time that I turned to look. And Jim, before I actually got the camera around, Jim was actually fighting the motor. He was, I guess, kind of underneath it, trying to grab the kill switch, and the motor had already struck him. And about that time that I got completely turned around and realized that he needed help, he had hit the kill switch. And then, you know, I've got the video there where it kind of picks up.
Yeah.
As I'm walking toward Jim, I could see immediately the you know, how severe his arm, you know, had been struck. I mean, it was you know, wide open, and there were just a number of people just standing around, and I don't think you know, anybody realized at first how serious you know, the situation was, because there were some people, you know, that were sitting in lawn chairs, you know, just a few feet from Jim, and,
right,
and you hadn't even gotten up. You know, I don't think they even realized that, you know, he was, you know, hit as bad as he was.
Yeah.
So as I walked toward him, and I don't think you can really see it in the video yet, but I could actually see, you know, right how bad the wound was. So right away, you know, I had somebody calling to get the paramedics there, and then, you know, we just worked, you know, on just, you know, making sure that we got him stabilized before the paramedics got there. But, you know, the biggest fear in an injury that severe, of course, is, you know, that somebody, you know, bleed out, because you don't know if he's struck an artery or,
right,
or what kind of damage there is. And so, you know, my main concern first was, after, you know, seeing how bad it was, is making sure that he wasn't going to bleed to death. And then after that, you know, your next concern is, once you've got the bleeding stopped, that, you know, you don't want somebody to go into shock.
Right.
Because that can be just dangerous. So just working, you know, with him, making sure that we kept him stable. We just had a number of people that ran once they realized how serious it was, and that, you know, they were calling 911. Then we had a bunch of people that were there to help.
Yeah.
And, you know, fortunately, his motor was already off. You know, so that you know, danger was kind of you know, put aside. But you know, then it seemed like forever before the paramedics got there. It probably wasn't, you know, maybe 10 or 12 minutes. And his wife, Jim's wife, she just was a real trooper. I mean, she was just as calm and cool and as collected, just as Jim really was.
Yeah, he was.
In my
opinion,
he was extremely calm, and I was just trying to keep him, you know, from you know, becoming panicked and everybody else around. And once I knew we had the bleeding stopped and the paramedics were on their way, you know, his wife was even pulling up the van, wanting to, you know, take him to the hospital. And of course, you know, you're not knowing the town, you risk, you know, getting in the van and then driving, you know, spending 15 or 20 minutes driving around town trying to find the hospital. So I knew the paramedics were on the way. Once they got there, you know, then I knew he was going to be in good hands. And right away, when I was talking with the paramedic and we looked at the injury, I mean, immediately he said, you know, we're going to Louisville. It wasn't going to be a Scottsburg, you know, hospital incident. So, you know, from that point, I knew he was in good hands. But I, at that point, I still really didn't fully understand that his shoulder had gone, you know, into the netting and actually, you know, into the prop that way. I thought maybe that the prop had swung around and struck him, you know, from the backside. But then I, after, you know, talking with him and some of the other folks, you could see what had happened. But, yeah, it had cut, I believe, Jim, didn't it cut from your shoulder all the way down to your elbow, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right, Dave. It sure did. Pretty long cut.
Did
it's even possible, looking at the prop now and some of the bruising, that it hit me once, it broke or something, come back and got me again with the jagged edge is what it kind of looks like.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what it looked like.
Because I was up by the hangar, and you know when you hear that, and that's what I said, oh, somebody broke a prop, you know. And that's what it sounded like, you know, like a prop going into the ground, you know, dig, dig, blah, blah, blah. It's like, wow. And of course, we're still, I'm still standing up, you know, standing up there talking, and then all of a sudden I see people starting to scramble. And about that time when I rolled around the corner and saw, I was like, oh my gosh, you know. And, so it sounded like a prop
strike.
Some
people thought it was me.
I thought it was you or Robin. Cause those are the ones that, you know, I remember, like you were saying, you were trying to start your motor. Robin was getting set up. He was, you know, that's what I thought when I walked away. That was the thought. I was like, man, was that Dave? So I'm running thinking, oh man, oh man, oh man, you know, or was that Robin? And there Jim was, so Jim, well, I guess, how you doing today, man? I mean, you went to the hospital. Did they actually, work on you here in Louisville?
Yeah, they sure did two surgeries. They did one surgery the day after. They kept trying to get me in, and they were going to hope to be able to suture it up just using what was there.
Uh-huh.
And when they got me in the OR, they said there just wasn't any way. So what they did was go ahead and prep it for the next surgery, which was going to be the next day, and went in, took a big old hunk of slice out of my thigh, and used it to graft everything together. And then right after that, they made sure I was stable. Next thing I know, I was in the car on the way back to Knoxville. And then I go up there, went up there last Wednesday, and I go up next Wednesday, you know, for follow-ups. And they said everything's looking good, the graft's taken. I mean, it looks horrible to me, but they said it looks good.
That's good.
But, you know, and everything, I mean, I just couldn't. I've been really blessed, you know, because I didn't hit any nerves, didn't really get any muscle damage, everything. I expect a full recovery quick. And I'm just blown away, you know, by how fortunate I was and how the response from the community, you know, a lot of emails and phone calls and visits, you know, from people I didn't really know, you know, and some of the big names, you know. I've talked to Dale for a long time. And
Great.
Jeff Goyne and just people that I just, you know, wow, I've just always heard about.
Yeah.
And been real supportive, you know, everybody has. You know, Dale's even looking at ways. He sent me a kit to see if we can't do something with the netting on the skyboat. I mean, he's real supportive of it. He was real happy with the way everybody's responded. But the splint on it that was wrapped and couldn't hardly move my arm at all, and I guess that was the point. Well, they took that off Wednesday, and so now I got real good mobility and just really feeling good. Pain's been minimal. Hadn't had to have many pain pills. I got them if I need them.
Of course, man. Come on.
You know, I guess I'm squirreling them away or something for the really bad one. But, yeah, I've just really been blessed and thank God for the way he took care of me and thank Dave and all those there who helped me, you know, when I just basically couldn't help myself and not a position I'm used to being in.
Yeah.
As a police officer, you know, that's what I do.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And all of a sudden, I'm in a position where I'm helpless. You know, I got to have somebody to help me out, and the guys just come forward, and I just, it just blows me away.
Are your kids doing okay? Everybody okay? Like,
yeah. Everybody, they were pretty excited. You know, they were kind of bummed at the moment. Then I saw them in the ER, and they saw, you know, I was talking, and I thought I was going to be okay. And had a couple from our local church come up and get them. And take them home and get them to school because this was in Knoxville. This was the first week of school.
Oh wow!
You know, and they were stuck up there. So, a little adjustment, some excitement, but they everything settled down. They're going to be fine. He was talking about how my wife Beth was kind of calm with us both being emergency services. She's a dispatch.
Oh, is she? Okay.
Oh. Yeah, so, you know, it's dealing with it. It's a little different when it's somebody you know, but still, yeah. You know, you realize that just going crazy isn't going to help anybody.
Right.
And you learn to control that.
Yeah. Well, guys.
Well, she did a super job. I'll tell you, Jim, I am just really happy to, you know, be here, being able to talk to you on the radio show, and you know, be able to fly with you again, because like you said, it certainly you know, given the circumstances, when you've got a prop spinning like that, I mean, any number of other things could have happened, and it could have been even more serious than it was. So I am just glad. I am so glad to hear that you know, things are progressing, and you're healing up, and you know, you'll be back in the air soon. Looking forward to getting together and flying with you again.
Now, I appreciate that, you know, and it's just it could have been even worse if I'd just been by myself. You know, I do some flying by myself.
Oh,
you know,
same,
I've been
here
in the middle of a farmer's field. And I'm not sure how that could have gone, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the same here. That's one of the biggest fears, that I'm going to go in, something down on the ground, something similar to that, and nobody around, and not even able to call for help. You know, where are you? I'm looking up at the trees right now, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's always been one of the biggest. I've been flying for, you know, over a year and a half, and just now getting somebody to fly with. So it's like, yeah, I think about that a lot, too. That's one of the reasons why I always try to look for, I've been looking for somebody to fly with. So, yeah, wow. Well, man, I'm glad everything's going great for you. How long, you think? I mean, you say you got mobility, or getting mobility back is feeling good. How long before you're back in the air, you think?
Maybe a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I posted on one of the lists. I really hope to go back up on one of my visits and take my gear and fly from that same field. It's just a beautiful field.
Isn't it?
Beautiful area.
Nice.
I had a great flight to Friday. The flight Friday was one of my best. It's to me personally,
yeah,
for a lot of reasons. It's a long flight. It was great weather and beautiful area, and I just would love to, you know, grab another flight up there.
Okay. Well, you make sure you call, and maybe I can meet up with you and get Jim, and we'll all meet up there and go flying. So, you know, that's just right up the road.
I may very well do that. But yeah, I figure another couple of weeks if the cover keeps going good.
Excellent. That is good. Well, daggone, guys, that's great. Like I said, and it's amazing, like you said, the community, how they responded. I say it's amazing, but it seems like that's almost a normal thing. I mean, you know,
right.
Especially
right.
For Dale to give you a call, and like you said, Jeff, and you know, and all of the well wishes on the big list and stuff. So, and did you get the card?
I did. That was crap. My roommate loved it.
Did he really?
What's that noise over there? But you know, so I kind of shut it down quick. But yeah, that was pretty special. That'll have a place on my mantle, I think.
Great. If you guys don't know, we all I don't know who started or who got it, but we all kind of signed a card for him, well wishes and stuff like that, while he was on the way to the hospital there, and I'm glad he got this card and everything. So, well, good, and I'm glad you're doing good. Glad you're doing good. Well, guys, the next incident I was involved in, and I don't
this
know.
This is what I want to hear about.
This is what you want to hear about. Well, you can see it, you know, Mr. Videographer there on the other line, but... there are things to learn on this show, okay? We're talking safety here. So, it was, what was that? What morning was that day? That was Saturday morning. I do believe. Saturday morning. If you guys don't know, you know, when you get up in the morning, especially in the summertime, you got dew, and every time you go flying, that basically the wing gets wet, soaking wet. And I had a Power Atlas wing, soaking wet, on a trike. This is probably the first time right before the beach blast, I took my trike up for the first time, like five times. You know, I had five flights. Took the motor off, went to the beach blast, and hadn't been on there all summer. Tweaked my ankle in Kankakee, and basically said, okay, I'm going to get my trike back out. So, Andy Air Hogs is the first time I brought it back out, not making an excuse or anything. Early Saturday morning, laid my wing out, popped the wing. I guess I missed it three or four times. And if you go to Dave's video, which I'm sure a lot of you guys have already seen it, brought the wing up, you could hear Dave, hang on to those A's. Keep them going. And, of course, I went off into the bean field. And Now, what did I learn about that? Well, wet wing, get back, get plenty of room. You got to know when to stop or when to abort. And basically, when I got the wing up and I got the momentum, the wing was up. Of course, it's wet. It's dragging a little bit. I see the beans. I think I can make it. The front tire basically lifted just a slight, and I'm thinking, well, no, the first time I pulled down, which you try to get some lift, you pull down on the brakes a little bit and you see if it lifts. I didn't get anything. I said, okay, I let the brakes up a little bit more. Done it again. I got lift. I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to make it. About that time, I'm thinking I'm up over the beans, and I start feeling the beans grab the back tires, and the rest of the story is, well, you see Dave's video. I got beans coming out of my hair. I got beans coming out. I mean, I'm actually laying on the ground. And I guess it's funny because you see Terry's. Terry actually posted one first. You see Dave's. You hear Terry go, uh-oh. You hear somebody else laughing. Well, I'm basically flipped over laughing on the ground. So to me, I was like, what in the world? So I was actually laughing about it. It looked very bad, but it was very soft. The beans wasn't, they actually cushioned my fall. It could have been a very bad situation, but I had my helmet on. And the cool thing is about that flash track that I have, and actually it's a flash track, the bars, you can actually get your head down and, not really, it'd be like a roll cage type deal too, so. And, Dave, what did you see, man? I noticed that the camera was still going.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you weren't such a good sport about it, I probably would not have posted. And I have to, you know, caveat it by saying I did ask your permission before I posted that because I did not want, you know, any embarrassment on your part. But you were such a good sport about the whole thing.
Man.
And it's exactly like you described. I mean, the mornings there, the humidity was so high and the dew on the ground was, it was like somebody had sprayed it with a water hose. So
yeah.
Your wing is wet, your lines are wet, you know, the wheels are wet. And so everything kind of slows down. And, you know, after you attempt a couple of times, even in the trike, you tend to get a little bit frustrated and, you know, you reset up and you think, okay, I'm going to get it this time. And I can't remember if it was, you know, one or two or three times, whatever it was, but you'd eaten up a little bit of runway and it still looked like you might have, you know, enough because of the way that runway worked.
Yeah.
You know, the T there, and it looked like you still may have plenty of distance, but of course you forget about the wet wing and all
that. Yeah,
so,
I lost another 20, 30 feet, 40 feet before the wing actually popped up and picked up speed. Yeah.
Exactly, and it was absolutely zero wind. I think
yeah.
I think there was very, very little, if any, wind, which, you know, added to the length. Because I think under normal circumstances, with a dry wing and a little bit of wind, you'd have been off, you know, no problem.
Yeah.
And you know, you sometimes, you know, justify in your mind, you know, in getting up. But exactly like you described. I mean, so you went and saw your front tire come up, and we thought, okay, he's going to make it. And then all of a sudden, your back tires, of course, you know, the as the weight shifted down,
they
you know, grabbed in the beans, and the beans are just like, you know, these vines, the soybeans, and these vines just wrapped around and just sucked you in, and you see this water fly up, it shows you how much water there really was on the ground as well, because there's just this huge spray of water, and of course, I go running up, and the camera's still rolling, and you know, you're completely gone. I mean, you are disappeared in the beans. And I'm like, "Are you okay?" And I don't hear anything because your head's way down, you know, in the beans.
I think I'm below the beans, actually.
Yeah,
I was root level.
So I had to ask again, and you know, I still didn't hear anything. So I actually kind of got a little nervous at first. And then you're like, "Oh yeah, I'm fine." I'm like, "Okay," so I'm gonna keep the camera rolling, and then you know, I did give you one hand.
Yeah, one hand. Do you hear it, Dave?
Yeah.
He gave me one hand. Did you see it, Dave? Did you see it, Jim? I'm sorry. Look, he's laughing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Daggone it.
Yeah, pulled you up, and you were just all smiles. Oh, this is great. What a great man. You were just such a good sport. And, you know, you just kind of, Terry came over and said, oh, did you get that? And I said, yeah, I got it. He said, oh, yeah, because I think I stopped filming when my jaw dropped open because we just kind of stood there, you know, kind of in shock that, you know, that did not just happen kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so you had like three or four people helping you. Terry got your wing, and another person helped you with your trike.
Yeah.
I helped.
Jeff Bumgardner helped me. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, thanks. Yeah,
I was sure to be there to help with the camera. So watch you guys get out. And, of course, then we looked everything over. Everything looked fine. You tied off the netting, and we, you know, added another 100 feet or so to the
went to the road.
Yeah, I went out to the road, exactly, and laid your wing out, and you were ready to go, and that launch was just perfect. And I think, if I remember, after you launched, I think you must have stayed up.
Oh, it was 2 hours.
2 hours, because an hour and a half went by, and I was like, has anybody seen Will? Like, no, yeah. He landed, and I'm looking over by your car, and your trike's not there, and I'm thinking, oh, no, I wonder if he had another engine out, you know. And, of course, one of the things at this fly-in, what I thought was really smart, was that they wrote the telephone number on your wristband.
Yes.
So if you ever, you know, went down, you had the number to call. But anyways, then it was over 2 hours. You ended up showing back to the field, so you obviously got a nice long flight after that.
After the beam fill, yeah, it was like exactly 2 hours, and I had nothing. I had fumes left in the tank. So, but Jim, did you see it, man? Did you you happen to?
I sure did.
Did
and,
you?
And it's kind of like what Dave was saying. We were all just like, oh yeah, he's gonna be fine. That rear wheel got grabbed. I've seen a beam come up and grab your rear wheel.
Oh man!
I hope his prop didn't get his wing or anything.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Kind of like that when the, you know, with all those beams going through the prop.
Yeah, it was, and it's funny because I was slow motion. I mean, I was in slow motion. I felt the beans grab, and I'm like, oh, about that time, I'm hitting a button. And then I didn't think I was going to flip. Actually, I thought it was going to kind of land flat. But I guess with the tar being in the air and the momentum of the wing coming over and everything, it just kind of rolled me on over to the left side. So, but you saw it live, though, didn't you, Jim?
Yep, sure
yeah,
did.
Okay. Yeah. So, but guys, the what I'm trying to say here is safety. I've been doing it for, you know, I'm over a year and a half. And one of the things I always said, man, you always see those videos, man, what was this dumbest thing you've ever done? Well, I've got my dumbest thing so far that I've done in PPG. And if that's the worst thing I ever do, thank God, that's great. So, and the cool thing is what also I'm trying to do with Jim coming on and Dave coming on, talking about the situations and stuff, is try to teach you guys that, you know, safety, and I think we need to talk more about, because basically what that'll do is actually help us to be safer pilots out there. So most of our injuries are takeoff and, you know, and are on the ground starting motors, you know. And there was two incidents right there. You think, guys? Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, and I think you know, with the incidents, you know, you always have things that there's always a number of variables that, you know, lead up to it. And obviously, you know, hindsight, everything is crystal clear. But it's always a accumulation of a number of things. And usually they include things that you've gotten away with in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
You think, okay, well, you know, I've gotten away with it before. I can do it again. And when it happens, you're like, oh, man, I can't believe, you know, I got away with that. And then, you know, next time it happens, you know, it kind of creeps up on you. So, you know, I think the thing to learn in both the things, Jim's incident and yours, is that, you know, it's just a number of different things that kind of all played in. You know, to the and I know personally, I started my motor using half throttle, and fortunately, I've never had it run up on me and twist on me.
Mm-hmm.
But I have started it with half throttle, and I always try to be conscientious that the throttle lever is always on the other side of the frame, because I know that if the motor ever did go to full power, you know, the cage would, you know, push against the throttle, and then of course you get what you get. But you know, you always try to keep those things in mind. But when you're hot, and Jim, like he described, he had just he had a perfect launch, and then all of a sudden the wind changed, and he ended up getting a tailwind, and it was so hot, And you take all the equipment off, and you're exhausted, and then you're pulling on your motor trying to get it started, and all you want to do is, you know, you got all these other pilots flying around, and all you want to do is just get back in the air. So, you know, you kind of let your guard down, and then you start, you know, things just kind of start to slip. And I think that's kind of how most accidents, end up happening. And it can happen to any of us.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, and that was it exactly, Dave. And I feel like if I could get anything across, it'd just be, you know, it's almost a real conundrum we find ourselves in. If we have to almost fly with a "that can't happen to me" attitude, we won't fly. We'll sit at home and read about it or type about it.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, you got to be aware it can happen. You know, at least on some level, your consciousness, you know, realize, because that's never going to happen to me. I'm never going to get in the plane.
Right. Yes.
You know, but it did.
Yes.
And like I say, we can't fly constantly worrying about, oh, I may get in a power line, I may have a wing collapse and I'm too low. I mean, you know, we need to be aware and fly careful, but if we're over aware of it, then we're not going to fly. You know, we're going to be flying 1,000 feet, if at all, you know, only on perfect days. And, you know, maybe, and for some people that's best, but, you know, other of us have to manage that risk and reward, but, you know, try to be aware of it, that it can happen to you.
Oh, yes, absolutely. That's one of the things that, I don't know if you guys, I talked to Andy several episodes ago. He even had a incident where he hurt his hand last year. So it can happen to any. You know how many hours is Andy McGavin, guys, if you don't know who I'm talking about.
Right.
How many hours does he have, you know? So it can happen to anyone. And just and safety, I mean, I think, like you two guys said, you get to that point. And when I blew those two, well, I think it was three or four I actually blew. And it's frustrating. You're like, I know I can get this wing up and go. And that's basically what it was. Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's like, Dave, I mean, the very next launch, boom, the wing was up and I was gone. I mean, that's normally how it is. But, and it wasn't necessarily overconfidence in myself that I know I could do it, but it's more like they say, you get frustrated. You know, you blow a launch. I mean, how many times you've blown four or five launches hot as hell, and you're like, oh, okay, one more, I'm done, you know? And I've done that several times myself too, you know? And you start to concentrate so much on, you know, one thing, not, okay, let's see, make sure you do this, make sure you do this, and this is, you know, your checklist that you go, you know, you kind of go.
Yeah, you're way ahead to the launch. You're not even thinking about the start.
Exactly. You know, even to the point of, especially if you're flying at a fly-in, you know, you're around, you're not really even aware of your surroundings. You know, you're like, I'm going to get this wing, I'm getting in the air, period. You know, so, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm glad you, great stuff, guys, great stuff. So, but, and that's like I said, guys, we're just talking about safety, and I commend Dave, Jim, for actually coming on, talking about it, and I think we need to talk more about it, you know, and to make more people aware of it could happen to you at any time. So, but guys, anything else? I know it's Monday. It's football zone right now, so I'll cut it short. I don't know if you guys are into football, but if you like to say your last, you know, if you got anything else to say, go ahead, and we'll just kind of call it a. That's a heck of a show, man. This is great. I like talking to people. Several guys, you know, going back and forth. I'm excited, so, and it's working good, so. But go ahead.
What does this pay?
Huh?
What does this pay?
Pay? let me see. I tell you what. Give me your address, and it's in the mail.
let me just finish the thing. You know, yeah, let's be aware and let's be careful. But, hey, let's have some fun. Let's go out there and fly.
Yeah. Day.
Sounds good, and I'll look forward to flying with you again soon, Jim, and you too as well, Will.
Great, guys. I greatly appreciate for you guys coming on today, and you guys are more
Thanks
welcome to
much.
Come back on any time. And a happier moment, or, well, I guess we ended it. I think we're all happy, right? It's all good, right?
Yeah.
Good. Big good.
It sure is.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, there you go, guys. I would like to thank Brandon Oberlin for coming on and talking about the Indy Air Hogs. We talked about Jeff Baumgartner's safety rings at the Holland fly-in. And talk to Brandon a little bit after we finish the interview. We're going to talk about the Skybolt and stuff like that. So one of the things that kind of a change of the show, not necessarily about just fly-ins and some content. We're going to go to a little bit more content in the wintertime, which I think, you know, safety, equipment things, wings. I'm going to try to, you know, get in touch with some people that are willing to come on and talk about different things. I actually had a chance to talk to Bruce Brown at the Holland, Michigan fly-in this weekend. He's actually agreed to come on and do some segments about, you know, training, whatever we decide to talk about and stuff like that. So that's going to be a great thing too. So next up is, and also I'd like to thank Jim Newbert for coming on. Sorry for messing your name up there on the intro there, Jim. And David Schultz for coming on and talking about the incident that Jim had and the one that I had. Everybody's all good. He's doing good. Talked to Brandon. Like I said, he said he had talked, you heard, he said he had talked to Jim here recently, and he's doing really good too. So, like I said, the show's going to kind of transition into more content things, wings, motors, over the winter and stuff like that. I'm not sure what my next flying will be, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Guys, thanks for listening. If you have any ideas, thoughts, questions, please get in touch with me. And the other thing, you guys that have been going to the fly-ins and seeing, I'm actually doing PPG stickers and things like that. I will probably be adding that to my talkingppgradio.com, and I'll post something on the big list, and hopefully I'll have it up and going by the next show. So if you're not familiar with it, I'll be putting a picture up on talkingppgradio.com, and it's basically just a vinyl cling you can put on your windows, trailers. And if you've been to some of the fly-ins, you've actually seen some of the guys that already have them. And I'm coming up hopefully with some new ones and stuff like that are pretty cool. So anyway, that's all I got. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Thanks.